Is this your zipper? She would get bald.
Why is it important to learn Gemara? Yes, why learn Gemara? So this is my understanding. First, we'll begin like this. How does anybody learn to do anything? The way that you learn to do anything is generally by learning from somebody else. How do you know how to be a parent? How do you know to be an Abba? Because you have your own Abba. You see how your Abba does things, and you do that too. How do you know how to be a Talmud Chacham? You look at a Talmud Chacham, you see Rav Nevenzahl, you see maybe a Rebbeim, you see people, and you say, oh, this is how a Talmud Chacham acts. That's how you know. You learn from other people. Now, the question then becomes, wow, how do we learn very, very far back? From a very, very far back generation. I could learn from my father, I could learn from my grandfather, maybe even great-grandfather. But I want to know from way, way back. I want to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. How am I going to learn? So we have, in order to do that, is the Masorah. Now listen, there was a lot of ancient literature in the Jewish people wrote things long, long time ago. Yeah, the Josephus, for example, he's writing things around, the year 70. You have Philo writing even before Josephus. You have the stuff in the Apocrypha, even written before that, the Pseudepigrapha. You have these ancient works of literature. However, Chazal did not write down their knowledge. Why did Chazal choose not to commit their knowledge to writing? Because Chazal understood that the best way to really learn is from a teacher. You have a personal interaction, the same way you learn from a father, the same way you learn by example from a Talmud Chacham. That's how you're supposed to learn. Student to teacher to student, teacher to student. That's how it's supposed to work. And that's how you really understand things beyond dry facts. That's how you understand the totality of any particular issue from a teacher that you learn directly from. And this was the mechanism that the Torah was passed on from generation to generation. This is the Masorah. This is the Torah Shebaal Peh system. Now over time, the system was in danger. And you know, there's Rav Yehuda Anasi, and in the year, basically around the year 200, puts together the Mishnah. Now, we have a difference between the Spanish thinkers, like, let's say, the Rambam, who understood that the Mishnah was written down as an actual text, and you have the French Chachamim, like Rashi, who understands that the Mishnah was put together as a body of knowledge to be memorized, but not necessarily written down. But even the Mishnah was just a body of factual material. You were supposed to learn this material. This is the basics that everybody has to know. But what about all the reasons behind the Mishnah? Now listen. The Gemara in Baba Metzia says that Gemara ein lecha midah gdola hemana. There is no higher level than learning Gemara. Now this is what it says in the Gemara Baba Metzia. See, I have to wonder, when the Gemara is talking about the Gemara, what does the Gemara mean by Gemara? Because there's no Gemara when they're saying that phrase. So Rashi explains, when the Gemara says the term Gemara, what that means is, you have to understand the Ta'amei Mishnah, the reasons behind the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara does. In other words, the Gemara is telling us, what's the thinking behind the Mishnah, and ultimately, what's the thinking behind the mitzvot in the Torah? The Torah tells us what to do, and sometimes the Torah, to a degree, even tells us why to do it. But what about all of those details, and what all those details represent? And if you look in the Mishnah, all the halachot, and what is the thinking behind all of those halachot, that's where the Gemara comes in. So you understand now, what's the function of the Gemara? I'll tell you, it's like this. When you have the Torah, that's what Hashem is telling us. This is the expression of God's will and God's plan for humanity. But we want to understand, what's the thought process behind it? What's the reasoning behind it? What is the philosophy that this all represents? We want to understand, to a degree, if we could even say such a thing, the mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For this, you have to know the Tamim. You have to know what's behind it all. So to a degree, we have to back engineer. If we have the Torah, the Mitzvot, and the Mishnah, if we could back engineer from that and see what all these halachot are, the tip of the iceberg, what's that bottom of the iceberg? Where is the ideas that these all come from? Then you have an understanding of the philosophy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Now, where do we have this idea of an analysis of the reasoning behind these things? That is the Gemara. So the ultimate way that a person, if you want to have a knowledge, a real knowledge, of what Hashem is, to a degree, thinking, that's what's represented there in the Gemara. Now, the way to do it then becomes very, very difficult. How is this going to be passed on? The way to pass it on is as follows. Look, the Gemara is written in a very, very particular, and you could say very unusual kind of a way. It's written what we call with dialogical reasoning. You have one person asking, another person responding, questions and answers going back and forth. Because the Gemara is taking us through a thought process. By learning this Gemara, and it's written in a way that you are supposed to be participatory in this conversation. And by the way, that's why we learn Gemara b'chavruta. Because you're supposed to be going through the thinking of Chazal as represented in the Gemara, and following how they're reasoning things out, and therefore the Gemara is training you to think like Chazal. And that's basically, in some fashion, as best as could be, to retain that teacher-student relationship. When you have a Rebbe in Gemara, and you say, I don't understand this, let's say, Tosfot, and the Rebbe says, but think about, just read it over and think about it. And you say, okay, think about it. I don't know, this is what I'm thinking. And then the Rebbe says, yeah, but what about this? Now think about it again. And then you think about it again. And slowly, slowly, what is the Rebbe helping you do? He's saying, listen, he's helping you to think in the Tosfot way. That's what the whole Gemara is trying to do. The Gemara is taking you through the way Chazal is thinking, that ultimately now you're going to be able to walk around and your mind has now been trained to think like Chazal. And if you're thinking like Chazal, then you could look at the world like Chazal. How could we tell you how to be a from person? How can we tell you how to be a Talmud Chacham? There's no one to look at. So they're saying, listen, we're going to take you through thinking and thinking, and ultimately, you are going to think like Chazal, and to a degree, that's the Chazal thinking. Ultimately, you're going to be able to have some understanding of how Hashem wants you to think, and how Hashem is running the world. And that's why the Gemara is structured in a way that it's interactive. It's not like another textbook that you read, and you read that textbook is outside of you. I'm not sure how many of you feel this when you're learning Gemara as opposed to learning any other subject. If you read a history book, that is information that's outside of you, that you're in some fashion absorbing. The Gemara learning that you're supposed to be doing, the Chavruta, in Seder time, is that you become, to a degree, a character in the Gemara. That's where it's always described, oh, when all the Rebbeim are in the Beis Medrash with this. Why? Because the Gemara, that's how it's taking you. You're supposed to be doing that. And commenting on and saying in this, and I think he's saying that. That's how it's supposed to be, because the whole thing is getting you to think in a very Chazal way. And that's the way that the Mesorah is passed to us. What do Chazal want us to do? Do they want you to know? Listen, they do want you to know. Do they want you to know what bracha to make on a rice cake? They want you to know what bracha to make on a rice cake. But you know what Chazal really want you to know? They want you to know, why is this the bracha on a rice cake? And for that, they have to get into your head. And that's why the Gemara is written in the way it is. And it's a unique, I'm telling you, in the annals of literature, it is a unique form of literature that has no parallel anywhere else. To the degree that I remember in recent times people said, oh, now that there's an internet, maybe the internet is something that's in some fashion parallel to the way the Gemara is. You know, with these hyperlinks and comments and whatever, maybe that is. But there's no such literature like that because it had a very particular kind of a mission to train your mind and to go through these thinking paths. And now, and I'll give you an example. Listen, what's an example? One time, I think I told you the story. One time there was a guy in shul, in my shul in Virginia, and this guy is Birkat Kohanim. Birkat Kohanim, he turns around, faces the back of the shul. So I say to him, listen, man, what are you doing? What are you facing the back of the shul during the Duchenim for? He says, well, listen, you know, I understand. You're not supposed to look at the Kohanim. So this way, I'm really not going to look at the Kohanim. I'm facing the back door. I'm facing the exit. So listen, you know, I didn't say, but basically, he's an idiot. I mean, we all learned the Sota last year, and we learned about Birkat Kohanim over there. And you see that what is turning around, facing back of the that's the way to show. I reject this bracha. I don't want part of it. And even there, the Gemara says, oh, and someone who's anus and outside, then the bracha counts for him, yes, and all that. But if you're in shul and you're mamish, then you're shul. So what happened here? What was the breakdown? He knew, let's call it the rule, not to look at the Kohanim. But he had no understanding of the thought process behind it. And therefore, it got him to this weird kind of strange expression of it. Because if you know the basic so-called rules, but you have no idea of where the thinking comes from, then you really have no way to make any kind of decision or have really a clear understanding of how things are supposed to work. So there's a famous thing, I think it was the Flatbush Erev, when they were putting the Flatbush Erev up, there was a pamphlet that was going around that says Erev is bad. You know why Erev is bad? Because if there's an Erev in Flatbush, then there's going to be more women walking around on Shabbos in the street, and it's bad because there's going to be men and women in the street. Okay. Now the Munk Atsharov at the time said, these kinds of things you shouldn't say, and if you hear them said, you shouldn't listen. What is he basically saying? He said, listen, you're making up something. I don't know that it's bad for women to be... I don't know what that is. I don't even know what this thinking is. He says, this is what we like to say, crumb thinking. This is weird. It's backwards. How do you know what's weird or backwards? Because you have to get a sense of how to think about things. Yes, I'll tell you what. One time is another story. One time I was in Virginia, and they asked me to speak at it was an animal training something or other. I don't even remember what it was. Listen, whenever anyone would ask me to speak, I'd speak. So there, I wound up here. It was an animal therapy conference. I don't know exactly. Anyway, so they said, listen, they want me to go. So I get up and I say, listen, what did Chazal say about animals? You know, you can't have tzar balei chayim. When you sit down to eat, you have to give the animal first because the animal is a nebuch animal. It can't feed itself. And then you eat. Okay, very good. I'm telling them all this kind of stuff. It's very nice. Afterwards, this lady comes and she says, listen, I am a dog trainer. I train dogs for people and the blind people and whatever. She says, listen, you know what we tell people? We say, look, you have to eat first and you can't feed the dog first. Why? Because you have to show the dog who's boss. That I'm eating first and you're a dog, you watch me eat. That's right, you watch and you whine over there and you see I'm the boss and you're my dog and that's it. I said, look, that's maybe what you do. That's dog training. I don't know dog training, but I'm telling you what Chazal say. Chazal say that that's not supposed to be your attitude, right? Your attitude is not supposed to be, I'm the boss of you and I'll show you that I'm the boss of you. You watch me eat. That's not the philosophy that we want. How do you know? This we know from Chazal. That's how you understand the thinking behind it. Even happened to me this Shabbos, actually, I was at somebody's house, and whenever we go out to eat, I don't really eat anything because I don't like anybody's cooking. But this lady brings out a dessert, and she puts it in front of me, and she's holding a spoon in her hand, and then she says, oh, you know, she starts telling the story. Like, listen, lady, you know. And then she uncovers the dessert. And then she starts telling another story. I'm like, what is this? Tzar Balei Chaim over here, you know? Just give me a little piece of ice cream, something. I could eat something. But that's the philosophy, you know? You can't bring out ice cream and then start talking. Give out the ice cream and talk. Anyway, so I say that this is the thought process, and this is why the Gemara is important for you to learn. Because you have to know somehow how to think like our Rebbeim, how to think like the Achronim, the Rishonim, the Gaonim, the Amoraim, the Tanaim, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Did anybody here ever say, I wish I could just sit down, the way I can ask Rav Nevin Salah Shaila, I wish I could sit down and ask Rabbi Akiva some Shailas. Well, that's it, that's the Gemara. You have all of Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara. That's what it is. And now the Musar part. Based on this, you should know that if you're a person out there who says, oh, when the Gemara says, oh, maybe a proof from here, no, 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 and then at the end, the Gemara concludes something, and then I hear sometimes people say, oh, so I just wasted my time? What was this whole Amud over here? 18 lines of Gemara, and now you say that a bracha before we eat is a svara? That's it? After all of this business, and netta ravai and karam ravai, that's what I got to? Tell me that in the beginning, one line after the Mishnah. If you make that kind of a comment, and there are people here who make such comments to me on an almost daily basis, I will tell you that you're missing the entire point. Because the entire point is showing you how to think. And therefore, you have to go down these routes and say, oh, is this something? Is this a way to do it? Then you, because that's the whole point. If the Gemara just wanted to tell you the halachas, the Gemara would be the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And the Gemara is not the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You're not going to learn how to think from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So that's number one thing, and don't anybody ever say this again. Number two, when a person is going through the Gemara and says, this is stupid. I don't even know how to react to this when people still say this. I understand if you're a boy, you know, in sixth grade, and it's the first time you ever opened up the Gemara, then everyone says, oh, this is stupid, stupid. What happens is if you feel that, then you're completely missing the thinking behind what's going on over here. If you, when you're reading the Rishonim, and when you're reading the Gemara, and you says, this is stupid, then that means you have absolutely no idea of how the thinking process is going on behind the Gemara. If you did, you wouldn't say that. And the third thing is, when people say, why doesn't the Gemara just tell us what halacha? Now I'm telling you something. You know what's going to happen in the future, and now we have Art Scroll? In the future, there's going to be a super Art Scroll. You know what the Sefer is going to be? It's going to be one laminated sheet. That's what it'll be. And they'll sell it right here next to all the other business that they sell. And this laminated sheet will say yes on one side and no on the other side. That will be the Sefer for everybody, right? That's all you need. I just got to know. Yes or no, yeah? Do I got to do this or not do this? Is it us or a mutter? So then don't learn anything. We'll just tell you where to turn that little sheet. That will be the only Sefer you ever need. That's not what it's all about. To know the halacha is many, many halachas from it, but you're not going to have any understanding of the thinking behind anything. You're not going to have any understanding of the svaras. And bottom line is you will have no idea what Hashem really wants from you if that's all you're looking for. So this is my understanding, at least, of the function of the Gemara, to train us to think. And that's why it's difficult sometimes, because it's not easy to think, because many people, most of the day, are not spending it in thought. And certainly not in trying to rewire your brain in a different kind of way of thinking, maybe, than you're used to. But that, my feeling is, that's the importance and the function of learning Gemara. And as a result of that, we will all be on our own level, basically mini Chazal. Alrighty, that's it.